Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, March 22nd. We're glad you're tuned in and listening over WSOF and WAJJ Radio, and appreciate the opportunity to broadcast these messages and this broadcast over these airwaves. Appreciate those of you that tune in and listen on a regular basis. Well, we had a good time in the house of God last night here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Our regular midweek prayer service had a good number in the house of God, several visitors with us. We had some that I was surprised and really glad to see, and others that we were expecting, but glad to see them as well, and appreciate the visitors that we had. Brother Joel Gray, Miss Shauna, and Miss Holly, and Miss Jessica were all with us in the services last night. Miss Shauna's mother has not been doing well and has been in the hospital in Evansville, and understand that she had a real turnaround, 180-degree turnaround in the last few days, and is doing much better. Actually moved her out of ICU into a regular room yesterday, and so we're praising God for that. But the Grays had driven in, and it was a surprise thing as far as they hadn't been a long-planned thing, but because of the difficulties, they came in, and we're glad they were with us in last night's service as well. And then we had Brother Duncan that's been coming in on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights with us. He was able to get in here last night from over in Owensboro. We appreciate him driving in and being with us in the services as well. And then Brother Josh Owens and his family from over around Beaver Dam area, Hartford area, drove in and were with us. Their church was not having regular service time last night, and so they came in and was with us in our services. That was a blessing. And Brother Josh sang for us. We had a good time there with him singing for us as well. And then Miss Jennifer Rickard's mother was able to be with us, Mrs. Belt. And she was spending the week with Miss Jennifer. She was able to be with us last night. We was glad to see her here in the house of God as well. And so that's a real blessing. We thank God for his goodness and his grace and his blessings in our life. Amen. Allowing them to be with us, that was a real blessing, and we're thankful for it. And then felt like there's just a good spirit through the meeting. Had a number of people testifying and felt like God was moving in the meeting. We're grateful and thankful unto the Lord for that. Let me mention a couple things by prayer request, and we're going to go right to the Lord in prayer and pray for the broadcast today. But Sister Peggy Sue Duncan, she's a faithful listener and supporter of the station, and I just found out yesterday evening that she's in the hospital and in very bad condition, not doing well in health, and so I want to ask you to pray for her, that God would touch and help her. Miss Ruth and my wife, we're going to go there today and try to visit with her in the hospital, and so I want you to pray for her in this time. And then also, Brother Wayne Henderson, preacher friend of ours, I found out just this weekend had had a heart attack and had some heart surgeries, out of the hospital now, but want to remember him in prayer. Want to keep Brother Gish in our prayers, that God touch him and his health issues. Miss Lisa Bell, her health issues, want to pray for that. And then, of course, Brother and Sister Hall and their health as well. Want to keep those things in our prayers and ask God to bless and help and meet those needs. So if you will, remember those things and pray that God would touch and help. Brother Herford is having cataract surgery today. He had a surgical procedure on Tuesday. Now he's going to have that done today. So we'll remember him in our prayers, that God would touch and help those needs as well. Let's pray together at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your blessings. Lord, you've been so good. We've got so much to thank you for, and we're grateful unto you for your blessings in our life. Father, I pray that you would help us now, that we would accomplish your will and your work. Lord, would you use this broadcast for your glory? I pray for these folks on our prayer list. Thank you, Lord, for all these that were able to come and be with us last night, the good attendance, and then the good spirit that was in the services. Thank you that you helped us as we tried to preach on 3 John, and as we did an overview of the book. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings in that. Now, Father, I pray that you would help in these different needs that have come before us. I pray for Miss Peggy Sue Duncan. Lord, would you touch her and help her, dear God, in her health and strengthen her and meet the need. Help Miss Frances Williamson. Thank you that you have helped to continue to meet the need there. And help there, Lord, help Brother Herford as he has his procedure done today and these others on our list. I pray help them in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us, and I do thank God for the privilege to pray. And we're going to go to a song here and then the message from Job chapter number 3. And the song is by the Shepherd family, all of our children, singing a good song right out of the church hymn, an old song that says, "Hold to God's unchanging hand." I hope this song will be a blessing to you at this time. In our Bible reading for this week, we're going to be in Job chapter number 1, verse number 8. Just reading the first part of that sentence. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job?" I've been preaching a series that I've entitled Considering Job. We have looked at several cases and several instances in the life of Job. We looked at Job's warfare, we looked at Job's wounding, and we looked at Job's witness and Job's waiting. In Job chapter number 1, verse 22, the Bible says, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And just last week finished up looking at Job's waiting. Now we're going to look at Job's wondering. Look at chapter number 3, Job chapter 3 and verse 23. Now let me say, as you're finding your place there, that Job's three friends came to comfort him. We've looked at the affliction that happened to Job chapter 1, and then the second affliction that happened to Job more personally, more intimately in his flesh in chapter number 2. At the end of chapter number 2, Job's three friends came to comfort him. But rather than comforting him, they found themselves there at the end of chapter 2, only staring blankly at him for 7 days and 7 nights, without speaking a single word to him. It was as if their words of comfort had been stripped away from their vocabulary. Thus, Job began to speak for himself in chapter number 3. Now, there's a question that arises. He asks numerous questions. But in verse number 23, his mouth is filled with extreme bitterness and anguish. And he asked this question, "Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in?" I want to read that again because that's the theme we're going to be looking at this week. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? And as we said, we've preached this week on Job's wondering. Job had a question. He was wondering, why is a man allowed to live, even though it seems that all of his life is nothing but trouble and bitterness and sorrow? Amen. Well, I mentioned there's three things we wanted to look at, and we've looked at two of them, not completed the second one, but we've talked about the case that caused the question to arise. What was the reason for Job to ask such a question? And let me just simply say and reminding you that one of the reasons was that Job could see no reason for his trouble. He said that God had hid his way. Amen. He couldn't see a reason for it. Job had lived uprightly. He was not suffering because of a problem that he had sinned, not because of a sowing and reaping process. That's the best way to look at it. Job was not suffering because of sin, and so he couldn't see a reason for it. Then, secondly, the reason that he asked this question is not only could he not see a reason for his suffering, but he could see no way out. Not only did he say that God had hid his way from him, but he said God had hedged him in. And then, on yesterday's broadcast, we started dealing with the question itself. The question that he asked, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? And so I said that really that's not a good question to ask. That is an unsafe question because it brings dishonor to God. It seems to call God into question. Does God have a right to do what he does? Does he need to give answers to you and I? Is God accountable to you or I? Friend, I must confess that there are many, I see many profound mysteries in some of the most common phenomena around me. There's a lot of things I cannot explain. I cannot answer totally or comprehend anything, it seems like, when I get down to the bottom of it. Amen. It seems like on every hand, there's something I cannot fathom, some way of God that I do not understand. And here's why. It's because why could a finite mind ever measure and in that sense comprehend an infinite God? Amen. Charles Spurgeon said, in comparing so many inches to the infinite and in weighing so many ounces against the omniscient and in reckoning so many seconds in contrast to the eternal, there are no places for such calculations. I say amen. Amen. Let me remind you that this question is not only a dangerous question, but it's not the most profitable question that you could ask either. Amen. Amen. I read one time where a farmer whose boy said to him, he said, "Father, the cows are in the corn. How did they get there?" And the farmer replied, "Boy, never mind how they got there. The job is to get them out as soon as we can." And friend, that's the main business we have to deal with when troubles come, when cows get in our corn, so to speak. It's not to say, how did they get there? Our job at the moment is to get them out. Amen. Amen. Get them out. Then we can work on keeping them out and work on how did they get there to start with. Amen. Well, can I say there will be time enough when we have better light to be able to discuss these questions? When we get around the throne of God and we're standing in His eternal light, then will be a better time and a better opportunity to ask why. Then will be a better time and a better opportunity to ask, what did God have in mind? What was the reason? What was the purpose? Amen. That'll be better to ask then. Amen. And by the way, that's even if their significance has any significance to us at that time. Amen. I'm imagining that when we get to heaven, a lot of these things that perplex us now will not be of any concern when we get there. Amen. Amen. Well, can I say to you that the best thing you and I can do is to submit ourselves to the will of God. That's what I've been preaching now for the last several weeks. Submit ourselves to the will of God. Amen. Now, let me go to the third point. Not only what caused this question to arise and then looking at the question itself, but I want to mention some answers that might be given to the question that Job asks. He's asking, if I can paraphrase it and put it in modern language, he's saying, why do I continue to live in such sorrow as this? Why does God not take from me the light of life when He does not permit me to live in light that's enough to bring comfort? Why does God allow him to live in his struggle and in his pain? Well, can I say to you that if you are a child of God, I can give you one answer that ought to satisfy you unless you've got a rebellious spirit. Here's the answer. God wills it. Amen. Since you're his true child, then that's all the answer you would require. Amen. That's right. If it's God's will, then it ought to be enough. Amen. We ought to say, as the early Christians said, the will of the Lord be done. Or like our Lord himself said when he said, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. It was enough for Christ that his suffering was in accordance to the Father's will. So he bowed himself before his Father in unquestioning submission. Should not you and I, friend, be content to face our troubles as our Master did? Amen. Would we not be perfectly satisfied to satisfy our Lord? If it's the will of the Lord, then it must be that that's the best for me. And therefore, I have no further questions as his child. I'll be an obedient, silent child. Amen. So that's one good answer. Then here's another answer. Maybe I'm not speaking to a child of God. Maybe I'm speaking to a sinner out there. Friend, you've never been saved, and you're wondering, why does God allow troubles to come in my life? Can I say to you that the answer is this, that God has allowed you to live even in spite of those troubles because he is merciful to you. He's very merciful towards you. Amen. Where would you go to be better off? I'm talking about if you were to die, would you be better off? No, friend. If you're not saved, you might say, I wish I were dead, but that's not a good thing if you're unsaved. Where will you be when you die? Amen. Amen. Where will you be? Listen, friend, there'll be no comfort in hearing the words of our Savior when he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You don't want to hear that, friend. Definitely, you don't want to hear that. You're better off, and I know people say, preacher, I'm going through, and they'll use the adjective of, they'll say, I'm going through hell. Friend, literal hell is much worse than what men curse and call hell. Amen. That's what you're going through is not comparable to the damnation and the curse that'll be upon you for eternity if you don't come to Christ and get saved. Friend, you ought to be glad that Christ has let you live. You ought to be glad that God has spared you to this point. You might imagine that God has somehow been unfair to you, but I'm going to tell you, he has been very merciful in allowing you to live in spite of the fact that you feel like you're in dark despair. Amen. Amen. I hope you're not so foolish as to imagine taking your life. I hope you're not so foolish as to imagine that you'd be better off not living. Because, friend, that's not true in any degree. If you're not saved, you need Christ more than anything. Amen. And then I'd say one of the reasons why God has spared you, friend, is because he longs to save you. He would gladly save you. You have been kept alive, not by your own power or your own wisdom, but by the very mercy of God. And can you not hear his voice of mercy call? Repent ye and be converted. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Friend, God comes to you in this time of your suffering. God comes to you in this time of your trouble, that he might stop you in your sin and make you look up and think of him. Amen. Even the ones that are the most careless in life, the most giddy in life, during a time of deep pain and a time of deep grief, they can hear God say, oh, turn to me. Why do you waste your substance in riotous living? Why is your belly so hungry and you have nothing in which to fill it? Arise and flee to the Father. Amen. As the prodigal did, for he will receive you. Amen. Friend, if you're in sorrows, if you're in deep despair and deep trouble, and you're not saved, let those troubles drive you to God. Amen. I'll say this to those that are saved. If you're in trouble, also let those troubles drive you to God. He's the one that can help end your sorrows. He's the one that can give you peace in the midst of the storm. He's the one that can calm the raging storm that is all around you. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're a rebellious child of God. Maybe you're a prodigal. You've gone away from the Father, and you've gone out into a land where you've wasted your substance in righteous living. And now you feel as if you're in the hog pen. You feel as if there's nothing but stench around you, nothing but slop in front of you. Friend, can I say it'd be better to face God and take your whipping and be whipped all the way to heaven than it would be to be carried to hell on flowery beds of ease, as one song says. Amen. Listen, you ought to go to God and announce to him that you're sorry for your sin, that you know you don't deserve any mercy, but you beg for mercy. Amen. And that's one answer to the question, why does God let you live? Even though you live in pain, even though you live in grief, it's because he has a purpose. He has love and mercy towards you, and he wants you to turn to him. Amen. He wants you to get help from the Lord at this time. And that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. Hope you'll tune in this same time every Monday through Friday for another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.